All right, Thursday night and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Night two of the fire in Los Angeles and Southern California. We'll get to all that in just a second. Let me say to everybody in the chat, Alpha Acres is on. Horror Hotel is on. Snarl Barkley's on. Ratcliffe 1965 is on. Truth Lover 2 is on. Judy Anita is on. K4 VMS is on. Mike Griffith is on. Black Bart 201 is on. Dave Souders is on. Judy Anita is on. Order in the Court is on. LA 106 Times is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Joins is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Deb New 2011 is on. Coco Dominky is on. Deb Plan is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Salty Gonads is on. Mark 1069 is on. Confederate 1's on. Man 26 is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Buckeye 1968 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Charlie 340 is on. Snag Dog is on. Hassled Free TV is on. John Phillips 1973 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Big Scott 1 is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Sheila K is on. Dragon McGroin, McGroin Nation is on. Sun Wu 45 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Cafe 773 is on. Let me see, who did I miss? TJ21 is on. Luigi Valentino is on. Producer Aaron is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Naz Yeager's on. Patriot Raider Dragon is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Uncle Wally is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Now, before we get to the fire, I got to do two things that are, one's a pet peeve and one of them is just for my amusement. So hope you can enjoy it also. But let me do the one that's my pet peeve first. Going to Derek Chauvin. New stuff keeps coming out. And again, you know, it's not purposeful distraction. I mean, we need to be paying close attention to what's going on in the fires in California. But a lot of other stuff is going on that is being neglected because of that. We got lots of stuff is going on. We have the whole Islam thing, which I've been trying to get to for a week. Got border stuff going on. All the different malfeasance that Biden is still doing. Trump's supposed to be sentenced tomorrow in Juan Merchan's court, which is a joke. He has an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court going on right now. There's lots of stuff going on. Jack Smith is trying to release his reports from, I think it's the D.C. case, actually, which is, by the way, violates most bar rules, his own bar and things like that. It's a shucking case. That's where Donald Trump committed the heinous non-crime of protesting an election. That's all they did. Didn't agree to the results of the election. That's a heinous crime now. But anyway, so Jack Smith wants to release it, just like they wanted to release the Gates report and do all that stuff, which you don't on the whole do, which, by the way, let me just say this. You never do it because Jack Smith's report is the unfettered report. That is not a report that can actually be challenged by Trump attorneys. So it should never be released. And they're trying to do it. They're trying to release it to Congress for an in-camera review. So there's just a lot in which automatically means they'll leak it to the press. And it'll be like, why are you scared of it being leaked to the press? Because it's Jack Smith's viewpoints. It's Jack Smith's viewpoints unchallenged by Trump or his attorney. So it's, in other words, Jack Smith being the Hague liar, disgusting pig that he is, you know, it's a report that's totally and completely politically biased. So, I mean, it doesn't need to be released. But, and if it is, it is, and all of us already know anyway, we're also red-pilled. These things really have very little impact anymore, but they have some impact. They give some ammo to the left. I hate to give them any ammo whatsoever. But anyway, so let's get this Derek Chauvin thing. I just want to do this because this comes out. I don't want to neglect this because, listen, leftist California is on fire. People probably got upset, you know, because I said that I didn't have a whole lot of compassion. Listen, if anybody needed help, I would give it to them. If it was, you know, if I'm driving down the road, I'll give people help no matter what they are. But this is what everybody has voted in Southern California for decades. California, during the Ronald Reagan era, was a red state. I can remember back that far. You know, pretty much a purple state, but a red state. It is now fake blue. Pretty much every state is fake blue with notable exceptions. But it's fake blue. Most people in California are Republicans, but their elections are so corrupt, we'll never know what the true results of elections are. Same thing in Arizona. Arizona is deep red, but it's turned purple because we never know the true results of the elections, especially coming out of Maricopa County. But anyway, You know, so it's a big deal. And I have compassion for people who are in need. However, this is what they voted in. And they've been voting this in over and over again. And by the way, they'll vote it in again. Gavin Newsom, if he ran for re-election, remember, this is Southern California where, you know, all the leftist propagandist media, Goebbels media, has come out and said, we can't confirm. And one of the reports was actually hilarious. I think it was on CNN. CNN or another clown show like MSNBC, where their desk staff, their anchor staff, was saying, nobody has confirmed to us yet that there was empty fire hydrants. Then they went to the reporter in the field right after they said that, and the reporter in the field goes, it just got confirmed to me that there's many empty hydrants. So these people are just humiliating themselves. I don't understand how you can be a feckless, soulless, devoid of integrity of human dignity kind of person like they are, and just proffer one lie after another, knowing that it's lies. I understand if you make a mistake, but one lie after another, you just go ahead and spew out one lie after another. It doesn't bother you whatsoever because some idiot's telling you to spew out lies and you do it. Speaking of lies, Derek Chauvin. So, you know, Derek Chauvin, of course, was the police officer convicted of the second-degree homicide of George Floyd. He was charged with second-degree homicide, charged with first-degree manslaughter, second-degree manslaughter, third-degree, stacking charges against him. Even with all of those charges where he was found guilty, it should have been an 11-year sentence according to sentencing guidelines in the state of Minnesota. But he was sentenced to 22 years in prison because that would be politically expedient for the judge and for the, you know, the prosecutor and for the governor, Timmy Walz, now at this point, and for the attorney general, which I believe was Keith Ellis at the time. But anyway, so Derek Chauvin's in prison right now for 22 years for a homicide he didn't commit. And again, I'll get to the fires in just a second, but let's do something else for a minute. Everybody's heard about the fires all day long. So new evidence keeps coming out, and Derek Chauvin is actually trying to subpoena evidence for his appeal, and he's getting that evidence. He's winning some of these appeal subpoenas. He's actually winning some of them, and he just, as we report on the podcast, one of his court hearings where he wanted the medical records of George Floyd because George Floyd at the time of death had a tumor on his heart, which for some strange reason was not revealed at the trial by the medical examiner, as if the medical examiner had a politically expedient motive, which they all did. They can't ruin their careers, can they? Better Derek Chauvin go to prison for 22 years than you ruin your career, right? Got to do that. So, and again, just to lay the groundwork out for this, it is impossible for Derek Chauvin to have killed George Floyd. Because the only way that he could have killed George Floyd, even though that's impossible also, because you can't asphyxiate somebody with your knee on the base of the back of their neck. There's no way to asphyxiate anybody that way. You know, I could have Will demonstrate on Aaron demonstrate on Will demonstrate on me. It would not cut off my air supply. Will's a big guy. I'm a big guy. If Will kneeled on the back of my neck, wouldn't cut off my air supply. Wouldn't cut off the blood supply of the brain. The carotid arteries are right here. So it doesn't do that. And we all know, if you watch this podcast, that when George Floyd died, he had 3 times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his bloodstream. We know that. And that's what he died of until the medical examiner changed the report upon request of who? The FBI. What's the FBI doing? I'm just carrying on the leftist, globalist, bourgeois, elitist agenda. You can't have a... You know, with such a serious charge, you can't have somebody not go to prison. I thought it wasn't the seriousness of the charge. I thought it was the preponderance of the evidence and proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Is that right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that. I didn't know that it's a murder charge or a rape charge, that the defendant had to go to prison because of the seriousness of the charge. I thought it was proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So he had 3 times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his system. So he had 3 times more fentanyl in his body than anybody could survive, okay? And Derek Chauvin is in prison for 22 years because George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose. And at the time of George Floyd's death, he had a 95% oxygenation rate in his lungs, which means his lungs were fully functioning when he died, which means he could not have been asphyxiated to death. Then how did Derek Chauvin kill him? Is that clear, Aaron?
Yeah.
That's impossible. How did Derek Chauvin kill him if he wasn't asphyxiated to death? Did Derek Chauvin inject him With fentanyl, the video does not show that he did, because of course it's ludicrous. So more evidence has now come out. Jack Posobiec video breaking. Officer who lied, who's now the assistant chief of police of Minneapolis. This officer, here's her goofy, stupid face. You can show that. There you go. That's her stupid, idiot face. Another person never should have been allowed in anywhere near the Army. Or if, when you see how fat and dumpy she is, as she is in this picture, Tom, you're mean. No, you know what? Here's the thing. You're fat, dumpy, you can't handle police calls. You're fat and dumpy. You know, I've seen a lot of fat cops. Listen, I worked with fat cops that were perfectly able to handle police calls, and I worked with fat cops who couldn't. This fat chick right here, she has no ability to handle a police call. That's why they make her second in command of the whole police department and stick her up in an office and hide her for her 25-year career. Breaking, officer who lied under oath, there she is, in Chauvin case, now proven that she lied under oath. This appeal should be lock solid. Pictured using same knee restraint that she said was against department regulations. Now, let me explain something to you when you watch this video. Every department has what's called a use of force matrix. Everybody. Tom, how do you know that? I was a cop myself, 25 years, right where I'm sitting, 1992, 2017. Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. Type in Tom Lipley right now in Sarasota County Sheriff's Office. My picture will pop up from the various events that I was a part of. So every agency has a use of force matrix, and that determines the amount of force necessary for or it's now nobody calls it use of force anymore. Now they call it levels of resistance, because everyone's afraid to say force. Okay, so they call it levels of resistance. Okay, which is actually inaccurate, because you're talking about the perpetrator, not the officer. It should be use of force. It should be what the officer is using, not the level of resistance that the perpetrator is putting out. But anyway, so it's called level of resistance or use of force. And that determines what use of force is correct and applicable to the level of resistance, right? Putting a knee on the back of somebody's neck is perfectly fine. Striking somebody with an ass baton to the back of their neck is deadly force.
Right.
You watch the video of Derek Chauvin. By the way, watch the full videos before Chauvin ever got there. Is it really 9:22 already? Goodness gracious. George Floyd was saying that he could not breathe. I mean, a half hour before Chauvin arrived. Over and over again, he was saying he couldn't breathe. Because he either is in the midst of a fentanyl overdose or he has a tumor on his heart. So it's hard for him to breathe. So, everybody has this use of force. Now, suddenly at the trial, this idiot right here, second in command of the Minneapolis Police Department, she suddenly says that that's not part of their use of force matrix, which it was. So she lied under oath, and she's even seen, there's actually a picture of her doing it. And then she says under oath, I would never do that. Imagine she strolls in every day to work with her cafe latte and her briefcase, never has to worry about answering police call, never has to worry about actually arresting somebody or doing actual wet work. She didn't have to do any of that stuff. And she sleeps like a baby at night when she lied under oath and sentenced a man to prison for 22 freaking years and one of her coworkers. All right, Jack Posobiec video. Play for me, Will.
We've included in this brief picture after picture of this, in fact, technique being used during Minneapolis police training. We also have a photo of Katie Blackwell herself that appeared in a Minneapolis police yearbook dating back to 2014, where she was restraining a suspect during some rioting that took place after a hockey game on the campus of the University of Minnesota. And she is, in fact, putting her knee on a suspect's what appears to be the upper back or neck area, an actual picture. And so the officer who put together that yearbook is actually part of these declarations to say, here she is doing this exact same thing.
And I believe we have a clip, guys, if we can play that, of you asking Chief Blackwell about this.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Yeah, actually, I have a few questions for you. Are you aware that 14 former and current Minneapolis police officers say you lied during Derek Chauvin's trial and perjured yourself? What's the truth here?
talk to you about the lawsuit you filed against myself and Alpha News. 34 police officers have come forward to say that MRT was trained by the Minneapolis Police Department. I've been trying to get in touch with you. You obviously declined my interview request. Don't you think people deserve the truth?
So, Liz, have you had any response from either Katie or the department, other than, of course, the lawsuit in terms of this?
Yes, so the police chief issued a statement after all of this to basically praise Katie Blackwell, his assistant police chief, for her moral courage and integrity. I would still like to know if the chief of police actually watched the fall of Minneapolis or is really fully aware of her testimony. That is a question we have yet to have answered.
Yeah, the one part I forgot to mention in my intro is that 14 officers have come out and said that, notice at the time of the trial, 4 years ago, she's Inspector Katie Blackwell, Minneapolis police. Now she's second in command, as if maybe somebody went up to her and said, hey, you know what? You lose all self-respect, all human dignity, and all integrity by perjuring yourself and sending your coworker to prison for the rest of his life. If you do that, though, Fat Katie, you know what we'll do? We'll promote you to assistant chief. And just 4 years later, there she is. She's assistant chief of police, and 14 officers in whistleblower fashion have come out and said she lied under oath. There's a yearbook dedicated to all of the officers with their knee on the neck. You're like, well, maybe they made mistakes. No, they were trained to do so. Understand the point. That's in their training. Listen, if you're a cop, you know this. I actually know one of the, there's a cop that's actually watching right now on the chat because he's a friend of mine from here from Inglewood. If you know it, you go through lots and lots of training every year. This was part of their training program, was to teach Derek Chauvin to do what she said they're not allowed to do after their training department told him and taught him to do it. And she lied under oath. Bold-faced, disgusting liar. And if you watch that video with the reporter confronts her, that's the reporter right there, Liz Collins. She and Katie drops her stuff. She barely is able to lift her own weight off the ground. And she scurries off. What are you scurrying off for if you got nothing to hide? Why didn't she look back and say, I would never lie under oath? Remember, I mean, it's just like, Christopher A., did you have undercover FBI agents or assets in Trump gear in the Capitol prior to the breach? Yes or no? Why wouldn't it be an automatic heck to the no? No, he says, I can't answer that question. Well, I mean, why is she scurrying off? Did you lie in her own? Abso-freaking-lutely not. That's what she should have said. Why didn't she? Because she can be held legally liable for that lie, too. That's why. Because Derek Chauvin hopefully gets that. Hopefully, there's a judge and there's a jury and all because this needs to go all the way to the Supreme Court. And hopefully, the Trump administration will pick this up. It'll cost them politically to do so. But they need to pick it up because you shouldn't be thinking in terms of what will it cost me politically when you're dealing with criminal trials. You should be thinking of preponderance of evidence and proof beyond a reasonable doubt only. Not what are the political consequences of guilt or innocence. That does not matter. What matters is proof beyond a reasonable doubt and preponderance of evidence, depending on whether it's a civil case, which is preponderance of evidence, criminal case, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. That's all that matters. So if we let him out, what will be the ramifications? That's not much. How would you like to be the defendant in that case then? All right, so that's that. I mean, it's already almost 9:30. I can't believe it, but I could listen. Aaron, what do you think? How long could I go on with this?
Oh my gosh, another 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I could just rant on and on because it's one of my biggest pet peeves.
With no notes.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves is that there's any political motive in any criminal or civil trial. Yeah. I.e. Juan Merchan, who donates radically to Democrats. All right, let me just show you this. This is fun, okay? I don't know what the crap is going on. Let's watch this video, and then let's discuss it. Play for me, Will.
Teach us to know you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly each day.
To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day. By day. Amen.
Amen.
What in the freak is going on? That was a pastor at Jimmy Carter's funeral, verbatim, reading the prayer of, I think it was verbatim. He may have put no in instead of follow, whatever. But let's just, for ease of conversation, it was close enough to call it verbatim. What is going on when at a funeral? Listen, I don't know, Aaron, how many messages have I preached? I mean, I don't know. Okay, listen. Yeah. Okay. All right. First of all, if I ever do quote somebody, like when I quote somebody like Kenneth Hagin, I say my words are prayers, quote Kenneth Hagin, I do that.
Yeah.
But I would never be quoting from basically Meet the Fockers.
Right.
Because that's what that movie is, isn't it? Meet the Parents. Yeah, isn't that the whole Focker series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a pastor quoting the prayer that I may love thee more dearly, see thee more clearly, and follow thee more nearly. What is going on? I mean, what is going on with leftists? You have no brains. You know what the deal is? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You have no fear of God because you're, and as a result of that, you're getting stupider and stupider. So you have to go, what could I open up my sermon with today? Where's Meet the Fockers? Where's Meeting the Parents? Let me try to sound nice and clergy-esque. Know thee more dearly. I mean, love thee more dearly. See thee more clearly and follow thee more nearly. Unbelievable. I mean, that's your Democratic Party, 2025 Democratic Party. All right, so finally, let's get to the fire. And man, I got a giant stack on the fire. So me getting to the border, I want to get to the border. I want to get to Islam. It's 9:30. It's not looking good. But anyway, all right, from the pregame, I have to play this again because here is Trump. Now he's handing over, get this, Aaron, get this, Will. He's handing over the fire investigation and the handling from a federal level of the fires in Southern California, which, by the way, as of an hour ago, are still completely and totally uncontained. Uncontained. In 2025, in an urban area, the fires are uncontained. As of an hour and a half ago when I checked, uncontained, a source breaking 9/11. No containment, 0%. How many days has it been now? I think we're probably at hour 69 right now, 3 days in. We're not quite a whole 3 days in, something like that, and they're still not contained. Do you realize the levels of ineptitude you have to be at that in 2025, you let a fire burn for 3 days? You know, one of the little interesting little side notes, credit Alex Jones on this. Anybody wondering why the military's not involved? Is anybody wondering why there's no planes flying over? It's because Joe Biden flew in and then they put restricted airspace over the fire.
Oh my gosh.
It's almost like they wanted all to burn.
Yeah.
So they can recreate a 15-minute city. Isn't that just what happened in Maui? I mean, it's basically the same thing. Traffic jams where people have to run on foot to get out. Only credit to them here in LA, at least they didn't turn the traffic back into the fire and kill people like they did in Maui. You had people sitting in the ocean because there's nowhere else to go. They shut off the fire alarm. They shut off, this is all Maui, they shut off the fire alarm. They shut off the water for environmental purposes, right? And what started the fire? Power lines and winds. And uncleared out, whatever it may be, non-deforested forests, non-updated power lines that are centuries old. I'm hyperbolic a little bit on that statement. And then lo and behold, there's a spark and the light's kindling because nobody is actually getting rid of the dried up debris that you should get rid of. And here's the thing. You're like, what about Tom? You're kind of making it sound like, you know what? God needs help. No, no. Because what normally you would do is you let a fire burn. Mm-hmm. Every about 2 years, a fire of 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you'll have minor fires break out because there's not a whole lot of kindling on the ground. So there are minor fires break out. What happens now? They put them out when they're minor and then leave all the debris stacked year after year after year on the ground, both the stuff that burned and didn't burn. So then it's just kindling when it lights up. So eventually, when you keep putting all those little fires out, You never get to the stacks and stacks of kindling on the forest floor. When it's the Santa Ana winds, Aaron, do you think the Santa Ana winds blow every year?
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah, I'd assume so.
Right now.
Yeah.
And you know that somewhere between 50 mile an hour and 100 mile an hour winds are coming this time of year. Okay. you know that, and you don't do anything to prepare for it. So anyway, here's Joe Biden. Side by side that for me so it gives them some context. So there's Joe Biden. He's basically handing this off to Kamala Harris. So now we get the border czar's expertise. She's now the fire czar.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that great? And here's how he introduced her. Play for me, Will.
Madam Vice President, I know you're directly affected, so you fire away. No pun intended.
All right, as the president throws it to the vice president.
You fire away, he says. Unbelievable. And again, he didn't hand it off to her. That's just me being silly. He didn't hand her off. She's not the fire czar or any of that stuff. Just me being silly. But he allowed her to be like the spokesman in the minute for the administration because she's directly affected. So fire away. That's what he says. And then the day before, we got to hear the announcement that he's a great grandpa. What an idiot. Democrats. How do you live with yourselves voting for these galactic stupid idiots? Unbelievable to me. Look side by side that for just a second, guys. Look at what Democratic Party policies do right here. Look what they do. That is not Dresden in 1943. That is not Hiroshima in 1945. That's Pacific Palisades. This is what voting for Democrats give you. When the Santa Ana winds blow, and you know you have antiquated fire lines, and you have all that dead brush pushed up against them, and you know there's going to be a fire, and yet you make sure that there's no fire, there's no water in the fire hydrants. Isn't that what a fire hydrant is? Credit Dan Bongino, he said this today. What other purpose does a fire hydrant have? It's not a milk hydrant. It's a fire hydrant, and there's no water in it. And you vote for this over and over and over again. And this is what it gives you. Play for me, Will.
Well, you're seeing this moments after I saw it. The clouds just cleared, and I can tell you this is the most devastating event that I've seen. I've seen the earthquakes, all the fires here over the last 30 or 40 years, and we've never seen anything like this. This is Pacific Palisades, and the fire went through here, and it just took out thousands of homes all the way down to the shoreline. I mean, to describe it, really, it looks like a war zone. Now, the winds have died down a little bit right now, so they can make some progress, and as I mentioned, the smoke just cleared. This is the first time we were able to get in here and see the destruction. That's the village and Pacific Palisades. But as you can see, row after row after row, every single home burned right down to the foundation. Fortunately, this fire, we're not hearing about any fatalities. The other fire out in Altadena and Pasadena, we've had at least 5 people killed in that one. Fortunately, everyone got out of this. But look at the devastation. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's hard to describe how bad this is.
How does this happen in 2025? How does this happen? This isn't a hurricane that you can't control. And I know about weather mitigation, all that stuff, but I'm just saying ideally. I mean, at a state level, you certainly can't control it. Believe me, I know about, weather mitigations and weather manipulations. I'm just saying from state level, you can't control it. You certainly can control a fire, folks, in 2025. But you might want to have you might want to have water in your fire hydrants. And you might want to have filled reservoirs that feed your fire hydrants, none of which was the case. Because don't worry, though, this was allowed to happen while all your water was flowing into the Pacific Ocean. We're going to delve deep into this tonight about where all that water is going and who benefits from it. Look at how can this happen in 2025? How can this happen? This happened because it politically benefits people like Gavin Newsom for these people to not have water. Notice how his house didn't burn to the ground. Notice how his kid's school didn't burn to the ground. Notice that. Just like he didn't have to wear a mask. Just like his kids never missed one day of school. They were never doing Zoom call classroom classes with his kids. They went to school every day. Weird, isn't it? Weird how he didn't have to wear a mask at the French Laundry. Look at this, folks. I mean, do you see how huge? How does this happen? I mean, in America, do you see the size of this? I mean, how does all of this burn? You know why? And you watch the videos. Fire trucks are driving around. They're driving around and nobody's putting on a fire. You know why? Because there's nothing for them to put the fire out with. Look at this. How can this possibly happen in 2025? The scale of this. If this happened to one block, it should cause Karen Bass, mayor of Los Angeles, Gavin Newsom, both fire chiefs, the LGBTQ fire chief, and the other one to all be fired, as well as the water management person, which we'll get to her in just a minute, getting paid. The water management person, get this, Aaron, gets paid $750,000 a year to manage this, to allow this to happen. And did you hear that reporter? This is a guy who's been flying over Los Angeles, it appears, for years, and says, I have never seen this in my life. This is the most devastating event of my life. And he went through all the earthquakes, too. Look at this. How does this happen in 20? You can't put out a fire? If this happened in one square block, Gavin Newsom should be fired. All the congressmen and women should be fired. The mayor should be fired. They should all resign. Why are you not resigning? I'm telling you right now, if I was the mayor of this city, like Karen Bass is, I would resign. I would have already resigned. I mean, if water doesn't come out of fire hydrants when the Santa Ana winds are blowing, I resign that day because that is honor. That's actual honor. All right, let's go to the next one. Alex video. This is one I showed you in the pregame. I'm going to keep it a little shorter during the pregame, but I just want you to hear one response from Gavin Newsom. Alex video. Gavin Newsom gets called out while pretending to be on the phone with Joe Biden. Play for me.
Please tell me, what are you going to do with the president right now?
We're getting the resources to help rebuild.
Why was there no water in the hydrants, Governor?
That's all literally.
Is it going to be different next time?
It has to be. Has to be, of course.
What are you going to do?
I'm doing everything.
To fill the hydrants. I would fill them up personally, you know that.
I literally
have. I would fill up the hydrants myself.
I understand.
But would you do that?
I would do whatever I can.
But you're not. I see the. Do you know there's water dripping over there, Governor? There's water coming out there. You can use it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to make the call to address everything I can right now, including making sure people...
There you go. That's good enough. So anyway, he's asked... how is there no water coming out of the hydrant? His answer was going to be, that's what we're going to look into. That's like me having to look into, am I able to breathe today? Obviously, I can breathe. Because I'm screaming right now. There's no reason to look into that. There should always be water in fire hydrants. You want to talk about bare minimum requirements? It's almost as if you go to the federal government and you ask them, why are we being invaded by China? Okay, it should be a given that we're not invaded by China, right? It should be a given that we have water. It should be a given that water comes out of fire hydrants. This idiot acts like it's some sort of extra accoutrement. Oh, you know, well, next time there'll be water. Next time? Did you see? I mean, remember what the video that I showed you, the Pacific Palisades? That guy's there. And look how he's nicely dressed. He's prim. He's proper. To answer your question. And she asked, are you going to prevent this from happening next time? And his answer was, it has to be. Gavin, this has happened before. You had a major wildfire under your leadership in 2018. Did you fill the, that's 2018. Correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron. Isn't that 6 years ago?
Yeah.
You didn't make sure the fire hydrants were full of water? You didn't make sure there was a reservoir that was feeding the fire hydrants? You didn't make sure there was plenty of water? You didn't make sure that all of the water coming from the California mountains and even mountains in Canada is not flowing into the Pacific Ocean? You didn't make sure that the fire department is fully staffed instead of sending their excess equipment to Ukraine? You didn't make sure of that in 6 years. You couldn't make sure that there was deforestation efforts in 6 years. You know how many fire lines there are in the hills, in the Hollywood Hills, the fire lanes? You know how many fire lanes there are? I can walk out to the Mayaca State Park, that video I showed you yesterday of the control burn right in front of my house. I can walk out there right now, and you can't walk 100 yards without another fire line. Another 50 yards, fire lane. You know why? Because that's Ron DeSantis' forestry service. You know how many fire lanes there were in Southern California? Aaron, can you guess?
Zero?
That would be zero.
Oh.
Zero. No, nobody goes in and cuts a fire lane? Nobody clears out the forest floor? Nobody does control burns? You know how many control burns there were? None. No fire lanes, nothing. Can't believe it's already 944. All right, go to the next one for me. So Trump warned them, 4 years ago. Little over 4 years ago, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, which Donald Trump has turned into calling Gavin Newscum, has done a terrible job of forest management. That was back in 19. Well, he learned his lesson. Pacific Palisades, the fire right now, folks. As of my last check, get this, Aaron, get this, Will, 9,000 buildings have burned to the ground.
Jeez.
That was my last check. That was 10, 12 hours ago. And the fire right now, zero containment. Zero. And new fires keep popping up. You think Gavin learned in 2019? No. Has done a terrible job of forest management. I told him from the first day we met that he must clean his forest floors regardless of what his bosses, the environmentalists, demand of him, must also do burns and cut fires and cut fire stoppers. Those are fire lanes. Did he do any of that? Let's add it up again, Aaron. Let's add it up, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
How many times did he clean the forest floors?
Zero.
Zero. Yep. How many times did he dig fire lanes?
Zero.
Okay. How many control burns?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. Yeah, got it. Yeah, I want to make sure we're on the same page. Every year, as the fires rage and California burns, it is the same thing. And then he comes to the federal government for money. No more. Get your act together, Governor. You don't see close to the level of burn in other states, but our teams are working well together in putting these massive and many fires out. Great firefighters also open up the ridiculously closed water lanes coming down from the north. Don't pour it into the Pacific Ocean. Did he change any of it? Absolutely did nothing.
No.
And then he acts when this woman is approaching him. First of all, he's like, get this disgusting mouth breather away from me. That's what he thinks. That's what he's thinking in his mind. She's not good enough to talk to me. And he's acting like he's done all he can do. He's done all he can do. He did nothing. He did nothing. This is absolutely criminal malfeasance. I mean, criminal, just absolutely criminal malfeasance. And nothing's changed. Is it going to change next time, Governor? Has to be. That's his answer. Aaron just sent me new LA fire prompts, more evacuations. As officials say, over 10,000 structures have burned. That was 47 minutes ago. Zero containment. That's 10,000 that they know of. They're not counting them right now. All right, here's Malibu before and after. Play for me, Will. Just keep it side by side, guys. I mean, look how hot this fire is. It burned the freaking walls down. It burned the walls, concrete walls down. Those are not wood walls. Those are concrete walls burned to the ground. Look at the difference. It's like that Deja Vu movie that Denzel Washington just got a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Look at that. Look, I mean, this is side by side. This is what Malibu used to look like. This is under Gavin Newsom's leadership. Never should have happened. Never. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Natalie Winter's video. Watch. Fire captain asked, how many fire hydrants in L.A. are full of water? Now, the media has been telling us that this has all been hyperbolic by those of us on the right, that there's no proof that any fire hydrant was devoid of water, except the only proof is every single witness saying that they were empty. Every single witness, including this fire captain. Play for me, Will.
I saw an apartment building engulfed in flames. I saw the fire engine pull up this afternoon. A fire captain have one of his firefighters attach a hose to a hydrant, and that hose didn't fill up, Alex. And I asked the captain, out of every 10 hydrants you attach to today, on average, how many are you getting full water from? He says, little to none. And it was at that point that really the whole crew stopped, looked up at this apartment building, and they realized there was nothing they could do except...
Out of every 10 hydrants you try, how many of them are you getting water out of? Little to none. Let me translate that for you, because this fire captain doesn't want to be fired. That would be zero. It's going up. I mean, imagine trying to fight a fire with no water. That's the Democratic Party in a nutshell for you. But don't worry. Aaron, don't worry. Will, don't worry. Gavin's on the scene. And he makes sure, like David Muir, and this guy, credit Dan Bongino, David Muir today was caught on video. And he has like his little pseudo, like, he likes to pretend he's the firefighter, David Muir. You know, he was one of the debate moderators. And he was out there doing his, making sure that he was correctly positioned. And he took his jacket that he had on and he clothespinned the back of it so that it form fit his little body. How disgusting these people are, just like Gavin. Gavin is on the scene making sure that he's standing in front of somebody's home that's burning to the fucking ground. Somebody's not his home. You know, his home will always be behind walls. We'll always do control burns around that. He'll be surrounded by guns, right? Of course. But here's Gavin being interviewed by Anderson Cooper right in front of a burning home. Listen to the question and listen to the answer. Play for me, Will.
What is the situation with the water? Obviously, in Palisades, ran out last night in the hydrants. I was talking to the firefighter on this block. Yeah. They left because there was no water in the hydrant here.
The local folks are trying to figure that out. I mean, just when you have a system that's not dissimilar to what we've seen in other extraordinarily large-scale fires, whether it be pipe, electricity, or whether it just be the complete overwhelm of the system. I mean, those hydrants are typical for two or three fires, maybe one fire. You have something at this scale, but again, that's going to be determined by the local.
And guys, just continue on that one. Side by side, that one again. I just mute it, but I just want to. I love Gavin Newsom's gesticulations here. So he's asked these questions, and Anderson Cooper's asking him, you know, what about the water? What about the water situation? Why is that even a question? Why is it? Why do I need to ask the question of, are my kids in a school going to be taught to lop off their penises and breasts? Why do I need to ask that question? Why do I need to ask the question of what about the water situation during a cataclysmic 25,000 acre fire? Why? Why do I even need to ask that question? And again, and Anderson Cooper starts off with, what about the fire situation? Because I talked to the firefighters who are on this block where, look at Gavin. I don't know. I'm just the governor. I would love to try that here at Foundation Church if things went really bad. I don't know. I'm just the pastor. The TLP podcast goes bad. I don't know. I'm just Tom Lipley. Isn't that what Tom Lipley, isn't that what TLP stands for? He's asked, what happened? What's going on? What's going on with the water? Because Anderson Cooper says, this is right where they're standing. The firefighters left last night because they have no water. Look at the person's home behind you. As their concrete home burns to the ground. I mean, do you realize how hot it has to be? Do you realize that home could have been saved very easily because it's a concrete foundation home, concrete cinder block walls? Could have been saved. But the fire burned so long, so hot, without any mitigation, that now it's burned to the ground. And this idiot right here makes sure he's got his Bears hat on, his California Bears sweater, form-fitted to his body, his California Bears little hat on. Make sure he's got his hair slicked back, his bleach white teeth. And his answer is, how is it, when Anderson Cooper actually asked the coaching question for once in his life, how is it that there was no water? His answer is, the locals will figure it out. Do you realize that there are some things that are unpardonable sins that you cannot come back from? I mean, does everybody realize there are things that you cannot come back from? Like, if you murder somebody, you actually murder them, and you're going to prison for the rest of your life, you're not getting out, there's no coming back. You can still go to heaven if you repent of your sin. I'm just telling you, there's no coming back. You're not coming back from that. Okay, when you are a fire chief, a mayor, an idiot governor, and there is no water in your fire hydrants, and 10,000, Aaron Will, 10,000. Structures so far.
Yeah.
10,000 structures. Not 10, not 100. 10,000. 10,000 structures have burned to the ground. There's no coming back from that as the governor.
Yeah.
When there was no fire, there was no water in your hydrants. None. Because this never would have happened if it wasn't for the extreme incompetence of that white-toothed moron. On to the next one. All right, go, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, while it's playing next to you, if you watch this video and he's like, obviously it's muted, it doesn't even look like he's talking about a disaster. It looks like he's talking about his favorite sports team. He's like so nonchalant.
Oh, that's
he's
true.
Like smiling the whole time. Look at this.
He is a pathological liar. This guy, right? This is one of these guys that's on the level of a serial killer.
Oh yeah.
He has absolutely no connection to reality. Absolutely no connection to reality. He is a psychotic human being. He doesn't have any empathy for human beings at all, other than himself. Not an ounce. And Aaron, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly right. He's exactly right. He looks like, hey, you know what? We're thinking about building a park over here. You know, we're thinking about building an ice cream stand over right here. All these people, there's 10,000 structures burned to the ground because there's no water in the water hydrant, in the fire hydrants. And there was no water to refill the fire hydrants. After they, I mean, again, just think about it. Firefighters, Anderson Cooper tells the firefighters were on this block and they left because there's no water. Okay, right there you say, you know what? It's over for me as governor. If I can't govern better than firefighters leaving in the middle of the night because there's no water, then it's time for me to resign. Would you not agree?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. Justin, let's deep dive. Well, we'll do this first, and then we'll deep dive into Karen Bass. Anthony video. Breaking local news. KTLA 5 shows webcam viewing of Mount Wilson catching fire. Play for me.
Just when you think you've seen it all, we continue to see more devastation, more destruction. This is really dangerous. We're seeing, again, the flames at the bottom of your screen. It's tough to make out, a little obscured by a lot of that dark smoke, but they are licking, definitely, at a lot of these repeater towers. And this is very dangerous in terms of safety and emergency safety throughout much of Southern California. These are repeater towers. So these are towers that not only news stations, radio stations use here in Southern California, but emergency events. This is very important. The way the police, the fire, this is the way that they communicate as well. And that's why you've been seeing some of our live shots. They've been going in and out these repeater stations. So the signals come off of the transponders down in the lower elevations. They hit these towers and they're able to communicate with areas that are miles and miles away, and they could lose these towers. We could lose emergency.
So, sorry guys, side by side that thing, just mute it. But anyway, it's just so these are the cell towers and repeating towers. This is, by the way, fire department and police communication towers. This is going to go real well, isn't it? It's going well. Notice the fire response. Where's the water hitting the fire? The guy's just sitting there watching fire consume this area with no response. From the fire department. Why, Will? Because there's no, why respond if you have no water? Yeah. They don't have any water right now either. They're loading up water trucks. This is Silicon Valley. This is Computer Valley, and they can't put out a fire? These are allegedly the tech giants. These are the geniuses. These allegedly are the best and the brightest living in Southern California. The rich bourgeois elitists, right? And they have to go load up trucks full of water because they have none. You can't put it in. And every year they have the exact same fire problem. You think, you know, if it was like a first time thing, still be completely unexcusable and everybody would need to resign if you have no water coming out of fire engines. But if it was a first time thing and you kind of lost control of the fire, but you fought it back because, you know, you actually had water in your fire engines and it went a little out of control, that's one thing. You notice how there's absolutely no response here. It gets worse and worse and worse. Look down the road. You can see the fire start to lick the road. There's no response because there's nothing anybody can do because there's no water. And pretty soon, there's going to be no communications between the fire department and the police department. Look at it. No, look at it just slowly but surely be taken over. All right, let's deep dive into Karen Bass, shall we? Colin Rugg video. Now, Karen Bass is the mayor, the awesome mayor, who at the time of the fire was in Africa, in Ghana. Making sure, and again, I wonder how much that cost the taxpayers of L.A. I mean, not only are your fire hydrants empty water, not only do they redirect all the water away from you, not only are there no reservoirs, not only do they not deforest as they should, you are also a bonus. Why she cuts $24 million out of the budget and gave all $24 million to illegal aliens. That's a fact, by the way. Absolute fact. 2024 budget. It's exactly what she did. $17.4 million was cut from the fire department. Another $4 million was cut from the budget and was all given to illegals. While she flies off to Ghana for the inauguration of the Ghanaese president, that's the right way to frame it. Why? Who knows? What did that cost? So anyway, she finally arrived back at the airport, and sadly for her, she met up with a Sky News reporter, Colin Rugg video. Play for me, Will.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster? No apology for them? Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
It's
Madam Mayor, let me ask you just again, have you anything to say to the citizens today as you return? Madam Mayor, just a few words for the citizens today as you return to deal with the catastrophe.
Can you take this down?
David, as you say, she wasn't very keen to answer any of your questions there. And fire chiefs are also admitting that they just don't have enough personnel to take out the fires.
Yeah, they're fighting all sorts of challenges. They're talking about a water shortage. There are reports of fire hydrant failures. They've been unable to use firefighting aircraft for much of the day due to the smoke that is billowing ominously from the hills where the wildfires are raging. And I suppose despite that political storm, this is, of course, at its heart a human story, because we've now 80,000 people evacuated. Tens of thousands of others are on standby to be evacuated. Two lives have been lost in the Eaton Fire, which is what's causing the consequence behind us. The city's iconic landscape almost shrouded completely by the smoke. And they're really just taking it one step at a time, hoping at some stage the wind's going to change direction or to die down, and that they're going to be able to get this fire under control.
Oh, excellent.
Hello. We're supposed to go right to another video. Play for me.
And for several hours, we watched as hundreds of homes in a neighborhood burned to the ground. We did not see a single fire engine. We watched as Good Samaritans guided traffic. There was fear and there was a lot of confusion. You were out of the country at the time. Shortly after the fire started, a press release was put out warning of this fire behavior. My question to you is, what explains this lack of preparation and rapid response?
Let me just say, first and foremost, my number one focus, and I think the focus of all of us here with one voice, is that we have to protect lives, we have to save lives, and we have to save homes. Rest assured that...
But that did not happen.
Rest assured, let me finish. Rest assured, when that is done, when we are safe, when lives have been saved and homes have been saved, we will absolutely do an evaluation to look at what worked, what didn't work, and to correct or to hold accountable any body, department, individual, etc. But my focus right now is on the lives and on the homes.
Do you think your leadership was effective while responding to this disaster?
I just said what I believe is the most important thing for us to do.
Now, that is CBS News reporter. And if you listen closely to his question, he himself, in his own neighborhood, maybe this left-hard reporter, and I shouldn't say that because I don't know that he is, but come on, he's working for CBS. So let's just assume that he is. This left-hard reporter is in his own neighborhood, quote, watching homes burn to the ground. And by the way, I don't know if any of you have been to, obviously, home fires in my life because of being in police work all those years. It takes a long time for a home to burn to the ground. And they're watching homes burn to the ground. And he says, quote, not a firefighter in sight. That is complete and utter malfeasance. That is complete and utter incompetence. You resign as mayor. Nobody ever showed up. Not only is there no water, the fire department, which has been cut by her to the tune of $70.4 million, nobody even shows up. And by the way, no cops show up either. They were directing traffic. They were helping people, not the fire department. I hope everybody votes accordingly. And what's her response? The question is, here we are in our own neighborhood, Karen. Homes are burning down and no firefighters, no fire department does not respond, nor do the cops. So we're directing traffic and trying to assist in putting out fires. And her response is, our number one focus, and get this, Aaron, because you'll love it, because this is very Ark Church sounding. Whenever I say Ark Church, that's Association of Related Churches. And that's a bunch of weak, spineless churches that refuse to preach the Bible because it'll offend people. That's many evangelical churches today, if you want to call them evangelical. But anyway, it's just very permissive, lukewarm churches. But they'll do anything to keep you in the church. But anyway, this sounds very our church, because her response to the question was, we have one focus with one voice. I'm so glad there's one voice. And that's to save lives and property, because you've done neither. So far, your focus, you accomplishing your focus has not happened remotely. You suck at what you're focused at, saving lives and property. You suck. 10,000 structures. At the time that she was talking right there, it was between 5 and 10,000 structures burnt to the ground. And she wants to talk about our focus is to save property and lives when you already had at least 5,000 structures burned to the ground, 80,000 people evacuated, and at least 2 deaths. And now it's up to 5 deaths. And that's her focus. But Aaron, don't worry. It's with one voice.
One voice.
It's one voice. And after all of this is done, she says, when we have saved lives and property, how have you saved one life and how have you saved any property? When all this is done, she's going to say, then we're going to do an evaluation of what worked and what didn't. I'll do the evaluation for you right now. Nothing worked and everything didn't work. There you go. Mission accomplished. Don't hire an eval firm. I just did it for you here at the TLP. All right, next one. Where am I at? Michelle Maxwell?
Yes, sir.
My nose is itching like crazy. I don't know why. This is who the real Karen Bass is. This is who she is. Minute and 10 seconds. Play it for me.
November 7, 1983. Remember this date, but first, let me introduce you to Karen Bass. Back in the 1970s, community activist Karen Bass went on at least 15 trips to Cuba, many with a group known as the Venceremos Ramos Brigade, a Marxist group started by the Castro regime to subvert American interests, weaken democracies, and spread communism around the world. Founded in 1969, the Venceremos Ramos Brigade organized trips to Cuba every year for half a century. They attracted the most radicalized and delusional segments of the American left, including overtly Maoist and pro-Soviet communist groups. In fact, a Los Angeles police investigator who infiltrated the group testified to Congress saying that to be a member of the brigade, you had to be confirmed as a Marxist-Leninist. As a brigadista and then moving up the ranks to organizer for the Venceremos Brigade, Karen Bass visited Cuba every 6 months. Their mission? To radicalize young, impressionable American leftists in terrorist tactics.
So now you know who it is that's been elected as mayor of Los Angeles, a devout Marxist, just like Patrice Cullors, who runs Black Lives Matter, a devout Marxist. She was a community activist, just like Hussein Obama. 15 trips to Cuba at one time in her life. She was making a trip to Cuba every 6 months. She belonged to the Venceremos Brigade. And in order for you to sign up, in order for you to be a real member of the Venceremos Brigade, you had to be a Marxist-Leninist. And that's who's now running the city of Los Angeles. No wonder their fire response is like a grocery store in Cuba. Ever seen the videos of the grocery stores in Cuba? You can go there all you want. There's no food there. It's like you can go up to any fire hydrants you want and try to put out fire. There's no water in there. So it's being run like a communist nation in Los Angeles. No matter. It doesn't even matter that you have a $5 million home. Your public services are all communist. They are there in name only. They're not really going to respond and save you. Just like the CBS reporter, when he was questioning her, we sat there and we watched homes burn to the ground and the fire department was nowhere in sight. Don't they pay hundreds of millions of dollars per year for the fire department? Not hundreds of millions, tens of millions, and tens of millions per year for the police, and neither one of them showed up to the fires as all the homes are burning to the ground? Anderson Cooper asked Gavin Newsom, what's going on with the water? Because last night here in this neighborhood, right where we are standing, the fire department left because there was no water. Oh, the locals will figure it out. That was what Gavin said. So let's move on to LAFD, Los Angeles Fire Department, and wokeness video. Los Angeles Fire Department recently created, thank goodness, Aaron, its first DEI bureau. Oh. You know, as they're cutting $17.4 million out of the budget, and now Los Angeles is non-existent, burned to the ground. But don't worry. Even though they can't put out a fire as the fire department, they are hiring gay people.
Yes.
They're hiring lesbians. And they're hiring people of color who are lesbians. So don't worry. They may not be able to put out a fire, and you may be standing on your own block watching fires burn houses to the ground with no fire department response. But don't worry, there is a fire department that has a DEI bureau. So in wokeness video, LAFD recently created its first DEI bureau. Aaron, can you side by side that for me? This is Assistant Chief Christine Larson. Did you say Chris Larson? No, that's Christine Larson.
Wow.
Aaron, guess how much she makes a year? Okay. Just guess. I mean, you can't be wrong.
$300,000.
Excellent. $400,000.
Oh, wow.
$400,000 a year to be fat and useless.
As much as the president?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. President. She makes what the president makes. President makes $425,000 a year. She makes $26,000 a year less than him. Wow. She makes $399,000 a year to be fat and useless. Now, her job, quote, is to root out bigoted firefighters. Play it for me.
So I want to reach down and bring you up. And that's kind of something that stuck with me to this day.
Part of that work means speaking up for those who can't. Over the last few years, LAFD has dealt with a fair share of controversy. And Larson, not afraid to sound the alarm.
I chose to speak out pretty much by myself about the issues of sexism and racism within my department. And the need for change. I don't think there's any question that our department is the best at fighting fires. We do it better than anybody in the world. But when it comes to the personnel side, we have some issues, and they're not insurmountable, but they need to be addressed and fixed to the best of everybody's ability.
So lesbian Christine just said, lesbian Larson here, she just said they fight fires better than anybody in the world, Will. Really? Wow. Fantastic job over the last 72 hours. Fantastic job. It's only 10,000 structures burnt to the freaking ground with no water out coming out of the fire. Just great job. You know, the fire department can actually check and see. You know what got Aaron? Guess what got Chuck? Got cut during that $17.4 million cut.
Testing hydrants?
There you go. The fire hydrant testing that was usually done per year, that got cut. Oh. But side by side that.
All right.
Don't worry. We have Christine, lesbian fat woman. Don't worry, we have her in charge of the first DEI bureau, where her job is to root out bigoted firefighters. Not root out fire, not root out empty fire hydrants, root out bigoted firefighters, of which there are none. All right, in wokeness video, let me add up all the ones she rooted out. Zero. But she gets paid $400,000 a year to do it. This fat slob, $400,000 a year. All right, here we are again. Here's LAFD Assistant Chief Christine Larson, who said they're the greatest in the world putting out fires. Am I able? She's asked this question. Oh, you can see it right there. Am I able to carry your husband out of a fire? She's point blank asked that question. Let's listen to her response. Play it for me.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or, you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
Okay, side by side that for me. So your job is to rescue people. So if somebody has smoke inhalation, they got themselves there? Your response is that somebody is in need of emergency assistance, and your response is, it's their fault, so it doesn't matter whether I can rescue them or not? There it is. He got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of... Isn't that the essence of emergency work?
Dude, wow. Wow.
People getting themselves to the wrong place and you helping them? And one of her policy initiatives is that people want people of their own color and their own gender and their own sexual orientation to rescue them. I'm not looking for a heterosexual white man to rescue me. I'm looking for anybody who can rescue me. Fat slob lesbian can't. She may be really good at loving the ladies, but she ain't good about dragging this 235-pound body out of a building. And she acknowledges it. Well, I can't do it, but he never should have been in that situation anyway. The very essence of emergency response work is to rescue people that are in dire situations. And by the way, somebody who has passed out from smoke inhalation, that might not be their fault, fat swine. Somebody who's trapped in a car after they get T-boned and you can't carry them out, did they get themselves in that situation? Christine Lesbian Larson? Is that what you're going to say on the side of the road? Well, you got yourself in the situation, so I can't rescue you. Is that what you're going to say? Or you know what? I have an excuse for not being able to rescue because you got yourself in that situation. Most of the time, people don't put themselves in that situation. They're in need of your assistance because somebody else put them in that situation. And fat swine lesbian can't do a thing about it. Tom, you're mean. I don't care. That's what she is. A fat swine lesbian. If your job is to root out bigoted firefighters, and your prime directive is to make sure that people are being rescued by people of the same color, race, gender, and sexual orientation. Excuse me. I'm a gay man. I refuse to be rescued by anybody who's not a gay man. Is that really what happens? Aaron, do you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, for everybody watching the podcast, just remember, again, she's making $400,000 a year to say, if you got in that situation, that's your fault.
It's your fault, and I can't help you.
Yeah.
And that's my excuse for not being able to help you.
Right.
Her excuse for not being able to help you is she's fat and out of shape. And she's a woman, and she probably isn't physically capable of dragging a full-grown man out of a building. All right, Adam Hughes video, DEI. Here we are again. L.A. Department of Water and Power CEO Janice Quinones makes, get this, Aaron, side by side that, please.
Okay.
$750,000 a year to manage the water that wasn't there. Huh. Play for me, Will.
We ran out of water, and the first tank at about 4:45 p.m. yesterday. We ran out of water on the second tank about 8:30 p.m. and the third tank about 3 a.m. this morning. Those tanks help with the pressure on the fire hydrants and the hills of Palisades. And because we were pushing so much water in our trunk line and so much water was being used before it could get to the tanks, we were not able to fill the tanks fast enough. So the consumption of water was faster than we can provide water in our trunk line. So I want to make sure that you understand there's water on the trunk line. It just cannot get up the hill because we cannot fill the tanks fast enough.
What is the number of hydrants that could not get water because of these pressure issues? What percentage of the system in Pacific Palisades wasn't getting serviced at that point?
We were trying to keep water at all altitudes on the Palisades, and I think about 3 in the morning, that's when the hydrants went dry above the Brentwood area. We are able to push water on that trunk line on the east side of that. And we have some water on higher elevations, 16,000 to 18,000, but at 3,000, at 3 a.m., all of the fire hydrants went dry in the Palisades. What are we doing now? We're sending about 20 water tanks for our construction crews, full of water to support the fire department. We identify other areas in our system where our tankers can refill. It takes about 30 minutes to refill about 4,000 gallons of water, and we're constantly moving that water to the fire department to get them as much water as we can. For the people on...
That's good. So that's a woman making $750,000 for no water to come out of fire hydrants. None. And she, again, here you have all of these buffoons standing around making hundreds of thousands of dollars each, and all they do is invent different offices and segments of the government so that they can continually promote themselves. That's all they do. They don't ever solve a problem. All they do is create problems and offer their totalitarian solutions. What actually caused the problem? What actually caused the fire in LA right now? PragerU. We don't know yet what caused these new fires, but mismanaged resources have historically been the problem in California. Play for me, Will.
In 2018, fully half of California's wildfires were started by power lines or related electrical problems. It's not hard to figure out why. California's power grid is ancient. Most of its towers were built before 1950. Some of the lines are so old they qualify for the National Registry of Historic Places. The lines that are failing and sparking fires? No surprise, the old ones. The deadliest fire in California history, the 2018 Camp Fire that burned down Paradise, was caused by equipment that dates back to 1921. 100-year-old equipment. It's not that the power company didn't know there was a problem. They knew. But they were focused on more pressing political priorities, like green energy. That's where PG&E, a public utility, put its money and resources. In 2018, PG&E spent $2.4 billion on renewables. By comparison, in 2017, it spent $1.4 billion on existing infrastructure.
One.
So get the numbers right here. So most of the power equipment, most of your power lines, your power towers, all those different things in California, were built prior to 1950. They can actually be registered as monuments, as historical monuments. The 2018 fire, which was, I'm assuming, going to be previously the worst fire in California history, the power pole that sparked that fire, get this, Will, built in 1921. PGE, which is their FPL, our Florida Power and Light here, you got to watch these companies because they're very DEI and very ESG. They spent last year $2.4 billion on green energy. In 2017, they were spending $1.4 billion on equipment, but now they're spending $2.4 billion on green energy. That's a little stuff I'm dealing with right now with Florida Power and Light, but I don't have time to get into that. All right, that's good. 1020 is good. All right, love you guys. Rumble Rant, Flash River, $25. Order in the court, $10. Matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margaret, $10. Thank you guys. Love you guys, Rumble Rant. Love you guys in the chat. Really appreciate each and every one. We keep popping over 1,000. Love you guys. Really do. Stick around for the post game. It's great. Overall positive. Very funny. Stick around for it. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Beer tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Don't miss it. Who knows what'll be going on. Probably more information about the fire. Trying to get to other things. Just haven't been able to do it. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire. And you really liked it, and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily, or it will go out your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.